we heard in the gospel outside, and if these people should not proclaim me, the very stones would cry out. And indeed, the stones did cry out. They cried out on Good Friday with the earthquake, as we hear in another gospel account, that split the rocks and opened the tombs. Those stones, which seemed to be immovable, were moved by the power and by the presence and by the majesty of God. Things that can seem to be immovable are moved by God. Nature is set aside so that the God of all creation can be able to change and to bring forth something that is new. But that's not easy for us sometimes, because mostly we get used to things. In every Catholic church, we have the Stations of the Cross, and we walk in and we walk by them. The stark reality of what we've just heard in the gospel message is such that we say, well, I don't want to think about it. It's not for nothing that the church says that we should only hear it once a year, because the brutality of it is such that it needs to strike us. Otherwise, well, we get used to things, don't we? Whatever it is, your Facebook feed or whatever TV news you want to watch or however else you get your news, it seems that we can be bombarded by all kinds of problems and difficulties, and we turn our head away. As we heard in the first reading, we don't want to see suffering. There's enough suffering around. There's enough suffering in my life. There's enough suffering in your life. Do we really need to see more suffering? So we leave it aside. But God does not leave it aside. God is not one to just ignore my suffering, your suffering, and indeed the suffering of the whole world. Instead, he enters into that suffering. He empties himself of his Godhead, that emptying that we heard in the second reading, and he takes on our humanity. And our humanity, it's a tough one. Our humanity is such that we say, well, we just have to get by. And so hearts can be able to be hardened, or even worse, indifferent. When we walk through a church and see the Stations of the Cross, when we see these beautiful windows, one of which is the agony in the garden that we just heard about, we say to ourselves, well, that's just the way it is. And man can get used to anything, as the novelist Dostoevsky said, man can get used to anything, the brute. And we're not called, however, to be indifferent. We're called, at this beginning of Holy Week, to really enter into the reality of who and where and what we are. We're part of the crowds. But which of the crowds? The crowds that welcomed him into Jerusalem, the crowds that were there to capture him like a common criminal in the garden, the crowds that were there in the assembly, or the crowds of mixed variety that were there all along that way to and at his crucifixion. We ourselves need to have our own hearts to be changed. It says in another prophecy, in the book of the prophet Ezekiel, in the midst of the despair of the people of Israel, it said that your hearts can be changed. Maybe you know the passage. The passage is when the prophet is taken to a valley filled with bones, dry, dead, desiccated bones. And the Spirit says, speak to these bones. And the bones came together, were clothed with flesh, and then became a living army beyond counting of thousands upon thousands. And the Spirit said to Ezekiel, this is the house of Israel. It was dead. Hope was gone. But by the power, the certainty of God, it is given new life. It is raised up. It has something it could not even begin to hope for, because God will be able to do these great things. And maybe that's your life too. When you get a crowd like this, people are at all the ages and stages of their lives. Maybe you're really suffering at this time. Maybe it's something you can speak about to others. Maybe it's one of your own private griefs. Maybe, and I hope, you've gone beyond that veil of despair and are able to rejoice. I don't know, but you can remember what it's like. God reaches into our lives. He reaches into our lives because even when it seems that all control is lost, as we hear in this gospel account of Luke, Jesus Christ is always in control. Look at all these personages that we heard. Apostles, disciples, Herod, Pontius Pilate, various soldiers, all kinds of the unnamed. But there's one person in control, and that's Jesus himself. He is truly in control. Oh no, it's not a physical control. He's taken here and he's taken there. But he is the one who decides. He is the one who speaks. He is the one who directs events, whether to the daughters of Jerusalem, to Pontius Pilate, to the assembly, or even at the very end, when he dispenses his life, his graces, even to the good thief. That's always one of the most touching areas of this gospel. A man who knew he didn't deserve anything, but he believed. And because he believed, he was promised that, which is what we all seek, to be with our Lord for eternity, in his kingdom, in his paradise. Not at some just distant time, but here and now. This is what God promises to us. Because regardless of chaos, commotion, confusion in your own life, it is Jesus himself who is in control if we but let him into our lives. The ending of that prophecy of Ezekiel is this, where the Lord says to Ezekiel, "These people I will take out of themselves their stony hearts, and I will give them new hearts. The stones will be changed. Those stones of indifference or callousness, of coldness, those stones even of ignorance, and they will be changed into hearts of flesh, and I will give them my own heart." We are called into that very heart of Christ, the one who sacrificed himself for us, but the one who is truly in control of our life and the life of the entire world, if we but let him in.